It is good to be here again to preach and to look out and see you here. One thing you should be concerned about, I think, is that the trustees long ago put a clock up there on the back so I could see, you know, and have shorter sermons. But then I think it was Bob Callison or Richard Wilkerson that took the clock down because they liked my long sermons. So I don't know how long today's going to be, but let us pray. Gracious, wondrous God, may the words of my mouth and the reflections of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O God. Amen. The scripture I'd like to use is from the Gospel of Luke chapter 10. I think you've probably heard this before. Did you say amen or that you have heard this before? Have you heard this one before? Yeah? Okay. An expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. Teacher, he said, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, what's written in the law? What do you see there? He answered, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength, and with all your mind, and your neighbor as yourself. And Jesus said to him, you've given the right answer. Do this, and you will live. But wanting to vindicate or justify himself, he asked Jesus, so who's my neighbor? Jesus replied, a man was going down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell into the hands of robbers who stripped him, beat him, and took off and leaving him half dead. Now by chance, a priest or a preacher was going down that road, and when he saw this man lying in the dirt, he passed by on the other side. So likewise, a Levite or choir director or organist passed by on the other side. But a Muslim, while traveling, came upon him, and when he saw him, he was moved with compassion. He went to him, bandaged his wounds, treating them with oil and wine. Then he put him on his own animal, brought him to an inn, and took care of him. The next day, he took out 2 denarii, or enough for 2 days' wages, and gave them to the innkeeper and said, take care of him, and when I come back, I'll repay you for whatever you might have spent. And then he said to the expert in the law, which of these three do you think was a neighbor who fell into the hands of the robbers? That expert in the law said, the one who showed him mercy. Jesus said, go and do likewise. Now, you may have noticed I didn't use the word Samaritan because you don't know what a Samaritan is. I mean, you know, sort of. But you don't know like the Jews knew, who would have been shocked by Jesus using it, like lifting up someone. Well, you know those Samaritans were nasty, just garbage, scum. I mean, they lived way over there. They had their own take on religion. They had their own place of worship. They had their own rules, their own scripture, and they were just outsiders that we didn't want to have anything to do with. There was a strong feeling of the Jews toward the Samaritans that you and I don't have. Now, Muslims, on the other hand, we've got folks at the national and state level saying, well, you ought to feel something about them, you know. They're different from us. They worship different from us. They worship with a different scripture and they dress differently, so we ought to fear them. You know what I mean? So if you've got some sense of what Muslims are like today, then you have a sense of what Samaritans were like back then. Huh? And Jesus lifted them up as an example of compassion. Well, I want to start by saying, hello, my name is Bill. And if you happen to be a friend of Bill, you know, that goes to one of those meetings, you'd all say, hello, Bill. I'm a Methodist. Just only since April 19th of 1949, when I was baptized at the Far Methodist Church by Reverend Lester Haynes. My parents didn't give me a choice. They said, your name is William, and you're a Methodist. And they in that congregation grew me up to know my name, who I was, who I was going to be. And they even helped me, shape me with this bookmark they gave to me when I was confirmed. It just says, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. I've read that, seen that, prayed that again and again. So I learned early on, I'm a Methodist. And I learned early on that Methodists love others. Of course, we're the only Christians who do. Not. I mean, there are some Baptists and some Catholics and some Episcopalians and Presbyterians and all other who love Jesus and who hope to follow Jesus. But let's be clear. Muslims love others. Jews love others. So do Buddhists and Hindu and even atheists are called by the God's spirit within them to love others. But we love Jesus because we hear the command of Jesus to love God with all our heart and mind and soul and strength and our neighbor as ourselves. Huh? Can I get an amen? Well, we got an amen corner right here. I appreciate y'all being here. Just feel free anytime to say amen, you know. Amen. As neighbors, as a congregation, we act like a neighbor. We know those Ten Commandments, and it seems to be a bucket list for some who seem to want to do the opposite of what they're called to do. I know of some politicians who seem to make a habit of breaking several of those on a regular basis. I know of at least one who probably has broken all of them. But Jesus collapses those 10 and the other 614 that the Jews knew to this one commandment. And again and again, in so many ways, in so many places, he points to what he means. This parable is just one magnificent example of that. We know it. We know this parable, don't we? And every time we come to an intersection where there's a man holding up a sign that says, help me, with some guilt we remember as we pass by on the other side. Know what I mean? Y'all ever been there? Does that ring a bell? No? Well, I'm surprised. I thought everybody felt guilty like I did. Jesus breaks those 10 down to the one. Again and again. But this congregation, you know, knows and acts like a neighbor. We love others. We build ramps. We rehabilitate homes with our mission trips. We offer child care. We visit those in prison. We feed the homeless. We clothe the homeless. We carry those in need to where they need to be. And it's That's not even thinking about what each of you does on a personal basis. We love our neighbors. Can I get an amen from you guys? Come on. Okay, amen. How do we get here as a people called to love others? Well, I kind of know how I got here. With this passion for missions, for outreach, with a focus on social justice, shapes institutions of society that have been unjust. Again, for me, it's been a lot of prayer, reflection, reading. Been some wonderful Catholic theologians. Avery Dulles or Thomas Merton, Hans Kuhn. Some theologians like Paul Tillich and Reinhold Niebuhr, Dietrich Bonhoeffer. Even some Jewish theologians who know God on a deep, deep level. Abraham Heschel and Martin Buber. But then there's the founder of our tradition, John Wesley. He was that 18th century priest in the Church of England, along with his brother Charles. He was a passionate evangelist and social reformer. I read his diaries, his sermons that gave shape to his theology, but especially his view of these commandments of Jesus. They're in our DNA. As you don't know that much about your DNA, you may not remember that in our DNA is John Wesley in our tradition. He influences the way we read Scripture. He provides a filter, if you will, a way of looking at the Word. Now, every century brings new filters where the people of God look at Scriptures from the viewpoint of their culture and where they are in history. Every individual brings his or her own filter, selecting what's important. All through our 2,000 years of Christian tradition, we've all been selective in our use of the Bible. But Wesley is one who uses that love command as his guiding principle for reading and preaching and teaching, and as he developed his own passionate faith. He took seriously the injunction of Jesus when he said in Matthew 5:28, "Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect." Be perfect, as your wife tells you, but also as Jesus tells you. Now, just a funny aside, when Cheryl was ordained, or JJ, or Sue, the bishop stood him up in front of everybody and said, "Are you moving on to perfection?" That was a required question of everyone who wanted to be an elder in the Methodist Church. And can you believe it? They said yes. Now, when Bishop Slater asked me that, "Are you moving on to perfection?" I said, "You got to be kidding me." And my wife said, "Not." But there's that expectation to be perfect in love, to have that intention to fully, faithfully obey that commandment of Jesus to love God and neighbor. Wesley's belief in discipline was founded upon the one that you could grow. You could grow in the Holy Spirit, and that ability to enhance one's intention every day to increase one's ability to love God and others. Now, there have been many radical lovers of God in Christian history of every stripe. But Wesley was radical about this commandment to shape his life and his actions to love God and neighbor. They're at the core of what it means, well, he called it the character of a Methodist. Convinced that sanctifying grace could lead us into a deeper and deeper disposition to love God. Imagine waking every day in your devotions to say, today, I'm going to try harder. I'm going to look the ways in which I can put aside anger, hatred, and just love any and everyone who comes to me. That's what he called us. Like Jesus, he turned over the tables in the heart of the Church of England to call them to that. He moved the church outside of the walls of the church into the mines, into the countrysides. He even preached on top of a tombstone in a graveyard so that people could hear the good news and be challenged to live their lives differently. He founded schools and missions and even published a book he wrote on medical means of healing. He was opposed by the Church of England and was often beaten for his efforts by crowds, stirred up by the priests of the Church of England. But he laid the foundation of we the people called Methodist. He shaped our character as a people. That's why we are challenged and strive to love God and neighbor. As disciple John writes in his letter, we love because we know he first loved us. Let me say something about the radical nature of someone else, the one who challenged John Wesley, Jesus. You remember his violently overturning tables in the temple because there was a corruption there in that institution of the Jewish tradition. Do you remember him saying to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23, woe and be unto you, you vipers. There was this passion of his for God. You remember his being woke, whatever that means? I think it meant he was awake to love. His support for diversity, inclusion, equity. I mean, look, lifting up this Samaritan, this wretched outsider. Look at his lifting up that oppressive Roman centurion, the likes of which no one in Israel has such faith. Look at the ways in which again and again he affirms women, or is reaching out to the unclean, like the Samaritan woman at the well. The blind man, the one with leprosy, those cripples, the Syrophoenician woman, the woman caught in adultery, Zacchaeus, remember the little man up in the... His love included everyone around him in spite of what the Jewish tradition demanded. Jesus came along and said, love God. And that means love your neighbors. This is the Jesus who taught John Wesley the passionate aim of growing in love. And John Wesley who taught us to focus on this Jesus and this particular specific command to have mercy and compassion as the neighbor who cared for those in need. The love of Jesus came first to us, and it's meant to be the love we offer back to God as we love those that God loves. There's a woman you may know of. Her name is Dolly Parton. You heard that name? Well, she wrote something and sang something that could have been said by Jesus. I've heard it recently. I hope life treats you kind. And I hope that you have all that you ever dreamed of. And I wish you joy and happiness. But above all of this, I wish you love. And I will always love you. I will always love you. I will always love you. I can almost hear Jesus saying that. And his saying, so be good, Methodist, and love others. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.